Tell us about the choice of that record, David Tennant.
I think slightly erroneously, but I kind of believe I introduced Earl City to Britain rather pompously.
Okay.
Because I was in America and they were playing it on the radio all the time. And I loved it. And I bought the CD and I came back here and then did a bunch of radio thing, doing like a bunch of promotion stuff. And went on, I think it was Joe Wiley's show. And she said, oh, what are you listening to? And I said, this great track by Earl City. She'd never heard of it. And I thought, if I'm ahead of Joe Wiley, I couldn't be further ahead
it's
of the curve.
It's a good place to be.
Oh, my Lord. So I played her record on that record on her show, and it was like number one 6 weeks later. So they owe me big time.
I think that's actually a claim that can be substantiated. Did Joe play it when you went on the show?
Yeah, I don't want any... I think it was Joe's show, unless it was Fern's show. It was one of the other.
Oh, you can't mix Joe and Fern.
Oh, it was one of the two.
You're doing what I just did. This is as bad as what I just did. How do you think Joe's going to feel about that?
Well, she wouldn't mind. But I felt, you know, I don't want it to be investigated too thoroughly in case I'm disabused of the fact of that I, you know, I believe it was me.
So listen, you talked about
to keep believing it was me.
You talked about America there, and you know, you came back from America, you've been doing some work there, and you've been talking to American TV stations about this new film that you're in.
Yeah.
How big are you in America? How do people know you in America?
They don't.
They must know you.
Well, there's you know, Doctor Who, I think, principally has a certain level of enthusiastic fan sort of around the world. And, you know, so there is that fandom in America, but it's not ubiquitous like it is here. So I have a certain cult following, I guess.
All right. Now, movies, you know, I didn't realise you've made so many. Obviously, when you come on a show, I get things about you. I read them now and again. Yeah. I did read about you because I like you a lot. I want to get it right. You've made several movies, haven't you?
A handful.
A handful? Is this the biggest, the best?
Well, this is the first big American studio picture that I've made, yeah.
I mean,
it's probably not as big as Harry Potter, which is, it's hard to... Yeah, I did a bit in one of them.
And obviously, but. Vampire movie, completely ready, ripe, and up there for a sequel. When do you get to know about that?
I imagine, and again, I'm new to all this, but I imagine it depends on how our opening weekend does, which starts today.
I know. And so on Monday or Tuesday, you'll have an idea whether this is a hit or not.
Probably. I guess it's as straightforward as that.
Because if it doesn't open, it just... bums, doesn't it? It's simple as that.
Just forget about it.
But I think this is going to. I think this is going to work. I don't know much about movies, but I think it's going to work because I don't like vampire movies, and I liked it. So
that is. They should put that in the poster right there.
I think they might. I think they might.
Yeah.
And when you sign your contract for the first one, all right, does it have all the sequel clauses in it? Like, you know.
Well, I can't speak for everyone else, but I don't know if I'm meant to divulge that kind of information.
Come on, it's good stuff. Give us a scoop. Come on. So obviously it's a yes.
There were clauses, yes.
There were clauses. How many? Are we talking Fright Night 17, 18? Now, that's what I call Fright Night 104. What are we talking about?
I'll still be there at 75. Hopefully keeping my shirt on by then. There might be another couple.
Hang on a minute. I'm so glad you talked about the shirt thing. Mm-hmm. You are very cut in this movie.
I'm really not cut.
You spend the first 12 or 30 minutes of your appearance with all you have on is leather jeans and some kind of crucifix, and that's about it. You're pretty cut, my friend.
No.
We were all very impressed.
No. In fact, the director said to me he liked the scrawny... I like the scrawny British look. Don't dare be going to the gym.
So that is not scrawny.
Listen, when you're on set with Colin Farrell and Anton Yelchin, who are all, you know, proper Hollywood gym body types.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. You can see the work that's been done there.
Whereas with me, it looks careless.
No, you just, it's natural. Let's put it that way.
It's certainly natural.
It's natural.
Yeah.
So nothing done at all.
My appendicitis scar there for the world
to
see.
Is that what it was? Was that
genuine? Yeah.
And no.
What do you think? That was a prosthetic.
Well, all I thought was when I saw your torso, your tummy, the central of your very being, I thought, where does his food go? If you had a midget gem, you'd see the outline of it. What happens with you and food?
In America, with a craft service, there's a rolling buffet on set at all times.
That's always tough, isn't it?
Tough,
and the smell wafting over the set, alluring you, seducing you to come over to it.
A little cheeky Snickers at 3 a.m.
And all the crew, of course, gorging themselves to death.
Of course they are, the size of houses,
That's why movie sets are so big, to accommodate the crew.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk again more to David Tennant. As long as he'll stay, we'll have a top tenuous surrounding David.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's time for his Gobsmackers now. He says, my first choice was almost one of my Desert Island discs.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
See, he's getting in the fact he's done Desert Island Discs.
Have you done Desert Island Discs?
Maybe.
Of course you have.
So I feel I owe it to a play. My second track is by a couple of guys who I feel are underpresented on the radio. We just don't get to hear them enough. We said you'd pick the Proclaimers, and he has with I'm On My Way. Yeah. But first, Blondie and Hanging on the Telephone. I'm in the phone booth.